From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. That you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 17 and verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Behold the superlative liberality of the Lord Jesus, for he hath given us his all. Although a tithe of his possessions would have made a universe of angels rich beyond all thought, yet was he not content until he had given us all that he had. It would have been surprising grace if he had allowed us to eat the crumbs of his bounty beneath the table of his mercy. But he will do nothing by halves. He makes us sit with him and share the feast. Had he given us some small pension from his royal coffers, we should have had cause to love him eternally. But no, he will have his bride as rich as himself, and he will not have a glory or a grace in which she shall not share. He has not been content with less than making us joint heirs with himself, so that we might have equal possessions. He has emptied all his estate into the coffers of the church, and hath all things common with his redeemed. There is not one room in his house, the key of which he will withhold from his people. He gives them full liberty to take all that he hath to be their own. He loves them to make free with his treasure, and appropriate as much as they can possibly carry. The boundless fullness of his all-sufficiency is as free to the believer as the air he breathes. Christ hath put the flagon of his love and grace to the believer's lip, and bidden him drink on forever. For could he drain it, he is welcome to do so. And as he cannot exhaust it, he is bidden to drink abundantly, for it is all his own. What truer proof of fellowship can heaven or earth afford? When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe.
Oh,
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing this series from 1 Thessalonians, Pastor Tomassian brings the next portion of the second of three messages dealing with the day of the Lord. The text is verses 6 through 11 of chapter 5. In this message, he is addressing the question of how the world will end, especially as it concerns the believer and the unsaved. That time will be a time both of mercy and of judgment, of mercy for those who are trusting in Christ, and of judgment for the lost. The particular emphasis in this message is upon watchfulness for that long-awaited appearing of Christ. Now to continue this study on the day of the Lord, here is Pastor Tomassian.
Let us not sleep, as do others. Sleep. In this occasion, it is different from the form of sleep that is spoken of in chapter 4, in verse 15, where he makes mention of those that at the return of the Lord it shall not prevent, of those that are alive shall not prevent them which are asleep. In that sense, he's speaking of those that are already dead, as it were. But this sleep is a different form of sleep. It is a picture of ignorance and indolence. The one who sleeps has no awareness of what is going on, like someone sleeping. He doesn't know what's going on. He's asleep, completely unconscious, really, of what is going on around him. And there's an indolence there. He's not actively living in light of what is going on either. He can be said to be sleeping. He's not active in the reality of what is present or what is coming is not shaping him. So in contrast of being one that sleeps, we should not be ignorant. We should have knowledge. The Lord is returning, and we should not be indolent. We should be actively living in the reality of the coming day of the Lord. And Paul, when he says this, when he makes this exhortation, he said, let us not sleep. He involves himself. Paul, in making this exhortation, is not just generalizing it towards people that may be in the church and you're not sure where they stand before the Lord. He actually throws himself in here. In other words, the apostle is aware. He is conscious of the fact that even he may fall into this condition. That it is possible that even one who serves the Lord may fall asleep in this way, as do others. Others that exhibit spiritual slothfulness, those that aren't living in the light of the Lord's return. It may be possible for the child of God, even the apostle himself, does not exclude himself from the reality that I may get to this point. So it comes very, very sharply to us, because if Paul includes himself, there's none of us that can exclude ourselves. There's not one child of God here who can say this doesn't apply to me. it is very easy to become conditioned in a negative way. And the question I ask myself in study of this is, am I asleep? Am I asleep? That's a question I would want you to ask yourself. Are you asleep? Are you as whoever these others are? Certainly the unregenerate reflect a spiritual death, but his concern is toward the people of God. Let us not sleep. It's a very sobering thing to reflect upon where you are with the Lord. Something we need to do, not all the time, but certainly on occasions, and this is what Paul's instruction would do for us. A Christian may live a very energetic, vibrant Christian life and sweet daily fellowship with the Lord Jesus, and then one day finds him sleeping. I was reminded of a sermon by Dr. Paisley when I was thinking about this. When I was asking myself, when I was thinking about us in general, about whether we're sleeping or not, whether we even know it. And he said in one of his great sermons on revival, he said, the Church of Jesus Christ is largely sleeping. It's like a great bedroom. And you've all the Christians in bed, and they're all sleeping. And they're all saying, please don't wake me up. I want to sleep on. That's true. It's true that the church can get to a point where that is reflective of her general condition. Where the Christian is just drifting through, nothing necessarily out of place, at least externally, by what man can perceive. But spiritually, there's not the sweetness, there's not the intimacy, there's not living in light of the impending return of Jesus Christ, the awareness that he is coming, and having the sanctifying influence of that knowledge upon our lives. We're drifting. I was reminded further of the words of John Wesley when he spoke of the Methodist movement. In the midst of the blessing that they were enjoying, he said, my fear is not that our great movement, known as the Methodists, will eventually cease to exist or one day die from the earth. My fear is that our people will become content to live without the fire, the power, the excitement, and supernatural element that makes us great. That was his fear. That the movement would come to a place of contentment to be without the thing that they enjoyed initially, that set them apart in terms of what God was doing in their midst. It's a sinful sort of contentment. That contentment that just wants to sleep on, doesn't want to get up and face the responsibilities of the day. We've all been there. Physically, we've been there. The alarm goes off, and you're short a few hours sleep, and you're lethargic, and there's that lack of willingness to face the responsibilities of the day. Now, for the most part, we tend to overcome that because, well, if we don't turn up, there'll be consequences for it. So we get up and we go. And maybe even that can happen within the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not so much that you've stopped. It's not that you have clocked out. It's not that you're no longer engaged or involved. You very much well be maybe involved in the work of God in various ways. But really, you've kind of checked out. And this is what Paul says. Let us not sleep, beloved. Let us not. Let us be aware of the danger of a sleepy, indolent spirit, a carelessness about spiritual things, a lack of awareness of the Lord's return, and not living with that same zeal that may have marked us in the past. And as much as I am so thankful for all that I hear, whether it be from many generations ago or recent generations, and being confronted with what God has done in the past. It's a frightening thing when all of our experience and conversation of what God, of the activity of God, is always in the past. I remember when, I recall that occasion, and it's all way back when. And it's not up to date, it's not now. And the question is, why? Why? Is it because the Lord sovereignly has withdrawn and we can just put it down to that? God's not working, God's not actively moving in our midst, and so that's the reason, and we'll just sit it out until God arrives again. Or is the contributing factor the sleepy, slothful spirit of the vast majority of professing believers that we all come under this sense of being just kind of drifting along and not this desire, this longing, this burden to live as children of light and of the day? Not like others who are just drifting around in drunkenness and carelessness. No, that's not for us. His exhortation, verse 6, look at it, is to watch. Let us watch. Let us watch and be sober. It calls us to watchfulness and sobriety. The word watch indicates vigilance, strict attention, and a cautious spirit. And being aware, being very much aware of what is going on. And it's all in light of this, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is shaping this, influencing this, making us live in a certain fashion. And I think there was a day whenever people lived like that more than they do today. For example, the Christians in the past, and I've heard this and I've read about this, and I can say that it has come across my own mind at times, and the thought, when they make decisions about where to go or what they're doing and so on, Christians often in the past would have thought about, if the Lord was to return, would I want him to find me here? Or would I want him to find me doing this? A watchfulness, a vigilance that thinks upon, he's coming. And should he come, would I want him to find me here, doing this, with these people? And it often would cause hesitation, pause, careful consideration. That's not wrong, you know. That's exactly what Paul is exhorting here. Watchfulness, a kind of carefulness in light of the fact the Lord is returning. This word that's translated here as watch is used in exhortations that relate to spiritual duties in light of the Lord's return all over the New Testament. It is often used in close connection to prayer. Though the word is different in 1 Peter 4:7, it's very similar in the sense where Peter writes, "The end of all things is at hand, be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." When I looked at this word and I was going through the various texts in which it's found, it seems to me that the Lord made a very powerful point in relation to his disciples about this watchfulness. And I want you to follow with me in this, because it really struck me. I'd never seen this before, and I was struck by what I think was the Lord making a very careful point in relation to this. If you go to Matthew 24, just go there for a moment. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, you find this word. "Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Quoted that last week. Well, we're coming to this particular word. You can see how the same word, Paul uses the same word in relation to the same subject. The Lord's return uses the word watch. You find it here by our Lord Jesus Christ. Uses the word watch in relation to his return. Chapter 25, verse 13. You find it again. "Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Watch. Be vigilant. Watch. You don't know when he'll come. You're not sure when he will return. No one knows. So watch. Be vigilant. Live your life in light of this. Be very cautious. And then he exposes, I believe the Lord exposes them. There's much more going on in the next chapter. But chapter 26 brings us to Gethsemane. And in this scene, we find him using the same word, Matthew 26, verse 38. So chapter 24 and 25, it's the first time the Lord used that word, by the way. It's not like he's always using it. It's when he begins to deal with the return of himself, the end of all things, he begins to use this word, watch, watch, twice he says it. Watch, because you don't know when he will return. And then he uses it again, close proximity, Matthew 26, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? It struck me that the Lord gave a very important lesson as to how prone believers are to not be able to watch in the way that he exhorts. Not by being in their presence and giving the exhortation, watch, and then going away for a while and then returning. He went away for just a short period of time, just a short season. He said, watch, watch. Just a short time he goes away and he comes back and they're not watching. Just after he had made the exhortation in relation to his return, and this, he goes away and he comes back. And to me, it stood out as here's a real life example of how you're going to struggle to watch in relation to my return. You're going to sleep. You're going to drift into spiritual slumber. It's going to be very easy for you to do that and to not watch and be vigilant in light of my return. How much more then are we prone, given the Lord has gone to glory and we're waiting now generations for his return, for us to come to the conclusion that there's no need to watch. And Paul, he exhorts this upon the church. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch. If the Lord could go away for an hour and return and not find us watching after giving us the exhortation to watch, how much more likely is it, having said what he said when he was here in present, in body, and as we were waiting for his return, how easy for the church of Jesus Christ to slumber. So I ask the question again, are we sleeping?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.